Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, and welcome to a new episode of Holy Crap Podcast. Holy Crap is a Swedish podcast where we every week talk about a wide range of topics within spirituality, holistic health, and personal development. This week will be our last episode from Costa Rica. I, Matilda, have met the fantastic duo Johnny Odoya and Daniel Müller, who are founders of breathwork studio Hale in Stockholm. Daniel is German, so this interview will be held in English. We have been wanting to interview these guys for a while. We have been very, very curious for a long time to learn about breathwork. And when I heard that Daniel and Johnny were going to be in Costa Rica at the same period as me, I saw it as a divine sign to meet up and do the interview here. In this episode, we dive deep into the science and the spiritual aspects of breathwork, learning about the power of the breath and how transformative it can be to learn how to breathe in the right way. We also hear Daniel and Johnny's incredible life stories. Johnny's been a professional ice hockey player in NHL for many years, and Daniel has a very interesting spiritual journey. And at the end, the guys are guiding us through three simple breathing exercises that you can do in your everyday life to reduce stress, become more present, and gain more energy. This episode was recorded at an amazing place called Sunia in Costa Rica. And because the scenery was so beautiful and that Johnny and Daniel brought very cool equipment, we actually decided to also video record this conversation. We will post the video, our first ever, on YouTube this week and let you know on Instagram when it's live. So if you don't already follow us there, we are called Holy Crap Official on Instagram. So give us a follow and we will let you know when you can watch the recording on YouTube. I really hope that you will enjoy this episode. I really enjoyed recording this fun conversation in such a beautiful tropical environment. And so hopefully this energy is transmuted through the episode. I am also apologizing in advance for any exotic sounds in the background. Next week we will be back in our studio where monkeys and birds are long gone. And please let us know what you think about the episode on Instagram. We are always so curious to hear your feedback. Now enjoy this conversation and have an amazing rest of the week. Lots of love. Warm welcome to Holy Crap Podcast, Daniel and Johnny.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that we finally are sitting down and are going to have this amazing conversation about so many things and maybe center it more around breath work, which is an area that we are super, super curious to learn more about. And I know our listeners are too. So currently and right now we are in Costa Rica, which is incredible in every way. And we are sitting right now in like a jungle scene. We are also video recording this conversation, so hopefully our listeners are going to be able to see this on a YouTube channel, maybe. It's our first video recording, and that's thanks to you, because you brought the equipment. And yeah, we're just happy that we are going to be able to shoot this too, because it's quite a scene, like quite a scenery. So if you hear some background noises, it's life happening here in Costa Rica. We're sitting outside. You might be hearing some music, and that is because we are at Sunia, which is an amazing like healing center hotel place here in Costa Rica, and they're doing a CAP session just right next to us. So right now it's a very emotional, nice
Sounds
music
like
going
Titanic
on.
Titanic almost.
Yeah. So that's the scene.
But we are just going to go with the flow and do this interview anyways. So how has your trip been so far? How long are you here for and what's the intention of the trip?
Well, we started that. Well, thank you for having us first. We started in Mexico at the Breath Festival, which is a collaboration of a bunch of different individuals that come together in the breathwork world, I would say. Mm-hmm. And there was four nice days that, we wanted to go there and, you know, learn and collaborate and breathe ourselves, which is super nice to get away to do that. A different environment, and after that Daniel have some business that he's doing over here in Costa Rica, also trying to attend a wedding, so we had a couple of weeks in between and we don't really wanted to go home to the cold. And in February in Sweden, so we figured we'd stay and do some work and get some surfing in. We tried that today at least.
How did it go?
I think you had more fun than I did today, but yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it was good. It was good being out there at least. It's nice being active and doing things.
So, yeah, for sure.
Hmm? Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Cabo Breath Fest was a breath festival with various different types of people who were holding space and teaching their specialties. And it was like coming home to our crowd, so...
Yeah, that must have been nice.
Really, really good.
Yes. Do you know a lot of people in the breath community?
I would say yes and no. So there's a lot of people to actually know. And I don't know everyone, but the world is shrinking, it feels like.
Yeah.
So there's more and more connections being established, and it was great meeting Dan in person. And
who's Dan?
Dan Brulé. Mm-hmm. So he's like the Yoda of breathwork. He's been doing this for 40 years already. And he, like us, likes uniting various different breathing styles together in one place.
Ah.
So he just likes breathing as well.
And he does all kinds of different methods.
Yeah, but he is really into rebirthing too. So that's his favorite, I would say.
Yeah.
In the end, he always comes back to that.
Rebirthing.
Yeah.
Is that one of the methods of breathwork?
Yeah, it's one of the newest breathwork schools, you could say. So there's ancient ones that are thousands of years old. And then there's Leonard Orr, who started in the 60s and 70s the rebirthing movement. And that is circular connected breathing, so that way is not to be found anywhere in the past that way. And it's just continuous circular connected breathing in specific ways that brings up various mental, emotional, and physical aspects. So,
is that what we did yesterday?
It's a variation. So what we did yesterday was like I designed a class mixing different styles together. And the beginning we did a similar way of circular connected breathing, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yesterday you guys held a session or a class here at Sunya with the ocean as your backdrop. How was that?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, I said that yesterday. It's the different elements are, of course, impacting any session you hold. And it's also nice now we're kind of always doing it in the studio. So being in a different place and having the sessions, I think for me, was fantastic. Mm. So I really liked it. And of course, watching people breathe and especially when you go into the relaxation afterwards and it's slowing down and sunset and everything. It reminds me a lot of one of my deeper sessions and one of my sessions that I think brought me closer to understanding that this was something that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Was in Bali, very similar. You know, you came out and you had the rice fields and the sunset and everything was wonderful. So, yeah, I love it.
Nice. It was very beautiful to attend too. It was such an interesting session. I was sharing after the session that for me personally, breathwork has been quite problematic. Like I've been experiencing some quite difficult sessions before. I've done it like maybe 3 times before, and I've done only Wim Hof before. Mm. I don't know if it's different than what we did, or it is different than what we did yesterday, but I don't know if the emotional release is usually different. But yesterday I had a very calm and nice and grounding session, and my previous sessions has been very, very, very much emotional release and more of like the darker, tougher emotions, which isn't like, I mean, that's life. That's how it's supposed to be, right? But it was very nice to also experience some of the lighter emotions connected to breathwork.
Absolutely. I mean, the technique or the way you breathe changes, I would say, almost everything.
Yeah.
So doing it a lot more softer and slower also brings a whole different way of connecting to it. And then breathing faster and more intense, which happens then in Wim Hof, that can stimulate different physiological aspects.
Okay.
So breathing fast and intense through the mouth is usually very often connected to dangerous situations, life-threatening, panic, danger. And so when you breathe that way, then emotions connected to that can arise. And that can be very useful to release them.
Yeah.
Just also, there is a variation. That's why we choose to do rather slower versions and way more calm versions than the more intense, fast right away, because we're here for the long run.
Yeah.
We want to take good care of people and not scare them away, because it can be built up in a really smooth fashion instead of having this like bursting open experience, which is very often, in my eyes, sometimes re-traumatizing.
Yeah.
So I prefer a lot smoother approach, more careful, more safe, created spaces. And then eventually after a certain time can be increased, and then the strong sensations in the body, they're already known.
Yeah.
So that's one of our approaches at Hale as well.
That sounds very smart, because I'm kind of connecting breathwork to something not very pleasant right now. Now I'm starting to change, thanks to you. But that's how it's been previously.
It's great to hear, because our aim is to pop the bubbles and not create more. And popping the bubble is taking away the stigma around breathwork.
Yeah.
And the stigma is it's there for emotional trauma release, or it's hard, or it's horrible. And we want to open the door that it is also blissful.
Yeah.
It's calm. It's peaceful. It's quieting the mind. It is it's a deep mindfulness practice. Like, it can be used to bring energy in the body, or to relax the body, to relax the mind. The aspects are so manifold.
Yeah.
And I think that is what we really want people to realize, too, that they have one of the most powerful tools of changing their state at any given time.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say that the general perception is bad or difficult. I think the general perception is pretty good. Oh,
there's the howlers. The monkeys.
Howlers
the monkeys.
Are here.
Yes.
Hi, monkeys.
Howlers.
They're crazy. These monkeys is what we wake up to every morning.
That's awesome.
In Costa Rica.
I don't even see them. They're kind of close to us, too, where we live.
Yeah. I wonder if the people viewing this can see the monkey. We can't even see them.
I don't think they can see the monkey.
Yeah. Interesting.
Great.
This is not the average background.
No, it's perfect. It's nature.
I've been waiting to see one for 10 days, so now it's happening. It's
Oh, nice. Do you see them?
Yeah. I see there. That's right there in the tree. They're much smaller than I thought. And there's a baby monkey, too.
Oh. So this is a mom calling.
Probably. One of the loudest animals. Great.
Nice. So one of the things that I find very interesting with the two of you is that you as a duo thank you is very dynamic and very you are quite different as individuals, and you have very different stories and journeys behind you. Would you like to talk a little bit about
why are we here together? That's the question.
I think and I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But it's I think it's interesting for the listeners to understand the two different perspectives that you are coming into and now creating Hale together. So if you want to share, maybe Johnny, you want to start?
I think we are different in a lot of different ways, and like you said, have different backgrounds. But there's also it was funny in the beginning when I started doing breathwork, and like I said, in the deeper parts for some months on Bali, and then came home and I was like, why is nobody doing this? And it got to be something. And I was with a couple of people that was doing different styles, and then I found Daniel. And of course, then you're still a level two Wim Hof instructor. But so we kind of started there, but we did some other things, I think, too. And then quite fast, we started to think about how to put it together, and like, why are nobody doing this? And why is there not a place where you can go and do all these different styles just as the yoga place? And how do we inform and get people to understand what breathwork is, basically, in this esoteric and abstract world, kind of. And that was quite united. It was never like, if it's one thing, it's always been 100% clear, for us at least. And then our job now is trying to get the vision spread,
yeah,
and get others to see the same thing. But I think the dynamic of it, that we actually have these different experiences, and we come from somewhat of different backgrounds, but we have a lot of similarities too, actually, in the way we operate and see the world, and what we think is valuable, and of course, and the passionate drive for breathwork and doing this work, I think, is very uniting, I would say, or from my side anyways. But yeah.
But you're coming from more of an athlete background, being a professional hockey player. Do you want to talk about like how you found breathwork and coming from like more of that scene?
Yeah, so the hockey world is, or the athletic world is very, of course, performance oriented, and I think it's good. It's nice that it's like that, but I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm a typical hockey player, if there is such a thing.
But you were on a very like pro level, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As much as pro as you can be, I would say.
Playing in the States?
Yes, I was in the NHL for 12 years.
Wow.
So I've played too much hockey. But I've seen that world, and of course I understand, or I've seen the world of performance and, you know, striving for something and all those things. And sometimes there's other things missing in that. And it's cool and interesting to see now how that world is changing a little bit. They're talking more about, obviously, mental health and balance and like all of these other things. And it's not like I think I actually have figured out still. I think the work balance is something, obviously, now that I also have to work it in the private life, so to speak.
Yeah.
But having the ability to reflect on it and understand what's going inside of me and emotions that is connected to that, and shifting mind states, and all of these things are super, super important. I think some players and individuals have it naturally, some athletes have it naturally, and some do not. And I don't think there's enough tools for them to use by themselves, basically, that they can learn quite easy and then, you know, manageable work with. And that is, I think breathwork is unmatched for that, which is great. So,
do you also think that coming from more of a performance scene, do you think you're bringing that side into Hale too? Like more of the measuring, the science? I don't know, if maybe you are too, but...
Yeah, Daniel is just... it's interesting. I think from the outside, it seems like Daniel is the more spiritual person, I was going to say, but like that is your field, and not that you don't, that it doesn't look like you know the technical parts, but I think it might look like that, but for me, I think you're just as nerdy as me, even more probably, with measuring things and figure things out, and so balance like the two worlds. I think I'm sneaky spiritual, or whatever you would say. And you asked me that question yesterday, actually, and I don't really know what that means, to be honest with you. It's like, do you believe in God? If somebody else asks you, it's the same question. It's like, okay, but
what is God to you?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah. I don't, for me, you know, it could be spiritual sitting here, listen to the monkeys if you
Definitely,
want.
Definitely, yeah.
So I think we both have parts of that that we want to try to integrate with each other, basically.
Yeah.
Because I think that they're very valuable. And sometimes it's through experiences, of course, but of course in this case, when it comes to breathing and everything connected in that. And breathwork is cool like that because it's so wide, you know, it's... you can measure certain things, and you know, you were measuring, like you showed yesterday, about heart rate variability, which is a high performance score actually now, how is your nervous system doing in relaxation, and you can measure that, and we can measure that through breathing techniques and what the result actually is. And then on the other hand, we have the full experience. So I like to divide them in performance measuring and you know, overall wellness, where you actually experience and what's going on inside of you and all these things. And,
yeah.
And,
but I think it's good that you have the combination.
Yeah, I hope so anyways.
In between the two of you, because it also attracts a wider audience, I guess. Because you have the people who wants to have the facts and know that this is, you know, like science-backed,
yeah,
and so on. And you also have the people maybe who just love the experience and the spiritual aspect and the spiritual growth perspective and aspect of it. So I think that's really a really strong thing that you have when it comes to Hale. You can really sense it, I think, when you see the Instagram, see the website, like the two worlds.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. I want to see more of the science and the numbers and the facts into the spiritual realm. I think that's really powerful.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so maybe. If you want to talk about your story, you told me, because we had dinner, like a big group yesterday, and I heard some of your story. I thought that was very inspiring. So if you want to, Daniel, if you want to share where you're coming from and how you found breathwork.
For me, the breath came through the exploration of wanting to do something about my depression that I was carrying at that time, anxiety, loneliness, addiction. So I came fresh to Sweden about 8 years ago and got my heart broken, didn't work out the way I thought it would, and I kind of like went down a downward spiral of just partying and drinking. And I already had depression as I was 13 the first time, wondering what's actually going on in the world, and my parents split and took care of my younger brothers and sisters. And that kind of like kicked off, I would say, like a darker path for me. And when I then came to Sweden, I found myself in like my lowest time. And it was really, really hard. And I was about to leave the country because it was too cold and too dark in itself already. And then I saw a documentary with this guy called Wim Hof. And it was the Becoming Superhuman documentary of Vice, where he teaches two Vice reporters to climb the highest mountain in Poland in shorts. And I watched it two times after each other and got his course. And the next day I was laying on my bed and I took my first ice cold shower, and I hated the cold at that time. And I did the breathing on my bed and I had this illuminating moment where I was just like, oh my God, this is it. Because after weeks and months of feeling just heavy, down, depressed, lonely, I actually felt euphoria. Felt really great.
Wow.
I had tingling sensation all over my body and I just felt electrified, absolutely present. And that feeling, I was like, why did no one tell me this before? Like, why did no one tell me that 20-25 minutes of breathing in this way can completely change the way I feel? And my mind was finally quiet as well.
Yeah.
So I actually was laying there for at least 10-15 minutes just enjoying being alive again. From a moment of like deep despair over all the way to feeling happy about being alive, that was huge for me. So I continued training and did the cold showers, had my first ice bath out in Winterviken, and was just like doing the whole thing like every day.
Yeah.
And
every day?
Every day.
Wow.
So every day, cold shower at least, breath work, some asanas that are part of it too. and then going down to the frozen lakes and going into the ice bath. And in 2-3 months, I was a different person. So it completely cleared out most of my debris, and I noticed it was helping me. And a lot of people have obsessive overthinking, anxiety, depression, like you name it, right? It's pretty much standard today to have that.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that, hey, like if it helped me, maybe it can help other people. So I started just sharing it, and it actually...
How did you start sharing? On Instagram?
No, on Noden, that's a community in Stockholm, actually.
Uh-huh.
And so I started holding something called BMS classes, Body, Mind, Spirit classes.
All right.
Where I always had a component of training the body, training the mind, and the spiritual aspect, which for me was the breathing, the energetical aspect.
Okay.
So it was always combined in like a 3-hour session, actually.
Mm.
So I would take people through a journey that I'd kind of developed at that time. I didn't really know what I was doing, just following my intuition. And out of that, it was just showing that so many people had more tools to work with themselves.
Mm.
So in just a short while, it was a major game changer for me. And from all of that, I mean, the cold in itself is powerful, but the breathing itself was way more accessible, much easier.
Yeah.
I mean, if I say, hey, lay down and breathe versus, hey, go into this ice bath for 2 minutes, there's a different tolerance towards it, right?
But is ice bath, is ice bath part of hail now?
I mean, we love the cold and the heat.
Yeah.
And we love the cold and the heat because it's a part of nature. Mm-hmm. So the circadian rhythm is actually a cold-hot cycle that goes for 24 hours.
Ah.
So our cells are actually synchronized through heat and cold. And the breath gives them the helps with the ATP, the production of energy. And then we have the light, which triggers the circadian rhythm and creates melatonin, or turns it actually off.
Mm.
So all of these elements are just, this is physiology. This is how it works. This is how the human body actually functions.
Yeah.
And so I helped, started helping people figure that out, became a Wim Hof instructor, climbed the highest mountain in Poland in winter in shorts.
You well. Did?
Yes.
Good job.
That was amazing.
Wow.
It was much easier than I thought it would be, actually. And that combination, then I just kept on searching for things how I can help people, and today that is my biggest passion, is how can I help and serve other people, help and serve themselves. So I don't really like making people addicted to my services. I rather give all the principles and I then teach the tools that they then can use, and they don't need me anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what I really, really enjoy doing.
So when it comes to being in such extreme situations, like walking up a mountain in shorts, the breathing itself, is that, are you creating heat in your body via the breathing, or is it the awareness?
It's actually a really good question. It's a mix of things.
Yeah.
The breath keeps me in my body, present.
Yeah.
So it's a gateway to know how I feel at all given times. So the more I'm present with my breath, the more I'm present with my body, with my emotions, with my mind as well. And then through breathing, slow, calm through the nose, and then also having different techniques where I can actually generate heat inside. A lot of it is just body awareness and holding a good emotional field.
Because it was interesting, yesterday when we did, like, we were holding our breaths for 1.5 minutes. I think that's pretty long, but I know that you guys are experiencing, how many minutes? 13 minutes? What did you say yesterday?
No, that's the world record is 23
minutes. Okay.
So we do...
Yeah, like, we don't do 23 minutes.
Like six, 7 minutes.
That's very, very, very long.
It's quite long, yeah.
But anyhow, what I did yesterday was also entering a state of non-duality, which is something I've learned the past 6 months. Which is a way of kind of like an awareness, like a consciousness where you put yourself kind of outside of your own body and kind of looking in, you know. I can explain this later. But anyhow, that's what I did, and that also really helped me hold my breath, and it kind of puts you outside of the body. So I don't know. So I think also when it comes to all of these extreme situations, you can also apply awareness and different types of consciousness methods, I don't know, to to hold or like to do the extreme exercises, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we created like a context in it, like a nice setup, a set and setting for to explore. And it's kind of funny because some people, they go outwards and they like travel.
Yeah.
And others feel super connected and they're just going inwards.
Yeah.
And it happens to me sometimes like that too. So it's almost like the weather. You never know exactly what you get, but you know how you will feel afterwards.
Mm.
And that's always a wonderful feeling of peace and calm, and usually energy as well.
Yeah.
So a feeling energized and calm is like balancing the nervous system. And that's what breathing actually really is. And I really love that Johnny found me a few years ago. And we put our thoughts together because you asked about the science, right? And there's hundreds of papers and research. And at the same time, there's also the ancient knowledge of Tibetan monks doing this for thousands of years, yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong in Asia. And they've been using breathing and movement for aeons already. So this is nothing new. We're just repackaging it and making it more accessible for the 21st century Westerner.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for a lot of people to chant or do different kind of things that might activate their whole body through vibration, sound, and breathing. It's like singing. Singing is one of the ancient breathing practices.
Yeah.
So a choir coming together, breathing in a harmony, and that changes states. But somehow we don't do that much anymore. At least, sadly, in Germany and in Sweden, there's very little singing that I actually experienced in groups, which probably we did for aeons. And now the question is, how do we help people access these tools? And for that, science for me is a language. So that is one of the languages I like using, because then I can communicate with someone who just speaks that language.
Yeah.
And then there's the subjective language, which no one can deny. It's like if someone lays down and breathes in the specific ways we designed, they will have an experience. This is not something to believe in. Like, it's not like, oh, I need to believe in something at all to have incredible deep experiences with your breath. And it's nothing else. It's no substances more involved than the natural part of breathing,
which
is just incredible. So at once, people can, no matter what the science is saying, it's like, how do you feel afterwards is a big question.
Yeah.
And that one is, like, for me, it's so clear. Like, I've never, ever regretted that I did a breathwork session. Not a single time.
Do you have 100% of everyone joining your classes who have an experience of some sort?
No, I think we're around, I would say, maybe 80% or something like that. And that also means it depends on what you mean with experience. Usually most people experience full relaxation.
Yeah.
I would say that's the normal, and also with the style and what we've been doing now. So that's usually the normal. And then there's a couple that have these deeper, very life-changing experiences, I would say, in quite an instant. And a lot of that is, of course, they've heard about it and maybe have expectations or not. I don't know if that's going to change now when like more people are hearing about it, that they're like, oh, my friend told me I would have this experience, so now I'm going to have it. And that usually never works in breathwork. If you have too many expectations of things are going to happen, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So I hope we don't have too many expectations of that in the future, but that kind of normal. And then there's always some that maybe they're a little bit afraid, there's some resistance and there's some fear, and they don't really want to go into the breathing and kind of just hanging out. And it's nothing wrong with that, but of course it's you know, it's like going to the gym. If you want to get sweaty, kind of you have to move, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's difficult to get the sweat. So you need to do some work, as in breath work, and then you will get all these nice benefits afterwards. And just to go back on that, when you talk about the elements, and that's super interesting. So of course, in the beginning, we were looking at a bigger space, especially in Stockholm, where we can include all of these heat and cold and light and like all of these different elements around breathing, and have breathing as the center.
Mm.
And then kind of impact that around it. And as you noticed also yesterday, it's different on when where you are. Like if you're outside, it's going to be a different experience. If you're inside, it's a different experience. If it's hot or cold, if you're high up in the sky or underground. So whoever is in the group, who is guiding, where you are, there's just so many elements that kind of play into what's going to happen. So every session, and then it comes back to the expectations also, it's like, even if you have expectation and, you know, it would be this $1 million lottery, and if, for you to pinpoint exactly all of these elements and actually get that, it's like, yeah, it's like basically one in a million either way. So being quite open to what will happen and also trust that you will kind of get what you need. And sometimes that's a little bit difficult, yes, but it, at least then it's kind of exposed in some way and you have the ability to work with it and you might see something that you didn't do before. And it doesn't stay forever. I very seldom, I think for both of us, unless you have deep, deep traumas that you have to work through a lot of times, then I would say most of the things that I see in sessions anyways is things that are bothering people kind of right now. And same as a lot of people have like problem solving, like one thing, like they get all these insights and they're like, oh, I was thinking about this thing today at work for 2 days and I didn't know how to solve it. And then like, now I know how to do it. So it's almost like sleeping, the same thing where you sleep on it and then it just appears in your mind, right?
Clarity.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So even if you might have something, you always said in the beginning too, it's like an emotional shower.
Yeah.
Where you come in and you might be carrying something, you don't really know what it is, and you're feeling kind of something going on, and then you go in, you do the breathing session, and then afterwards it's like you don't even remember what it was that was feeling bad. It was just there and now it's out, kind of. So that's a way of working with it for sure. And sometimes that would be exposed and you actually will know what it is and you're like, okay, Jesus, maybe I have to look at this. Like, I've been doing this now for a year and it makes me feel like shit. Like, why am I doing it, you know? So for that, it's very cool. And the elements play a big part of that, yeah.
So why is the breath giving you perspective and clarity? So what is actually happening inside of your body?
The $1 million question.
Mind, spirit, to give you these kind of effects.
Yeah. So I think one of the most important things to know about the breath, I mean, there's multiple aspects. There's the mechanical aspect of bringing air in and out of the body, and that can be compromised. And then there's the respiratory effect, which is biochemical, so the exchange of gases. And then there's the psychophysiological effect, which is based on behaviors. So breathing is almost a behavior. Every breathing pattern is linked to a certain state of mind, and every state of mind is linked to a specific breathing pattern. So for example, if you would watch your breath during the day and you're stressed, it's probably shallow upper lungs, and for many humans, it's mouth breathing. And they don't even notice that is influencing their state. Mm. And sometimes it's hard to say, like, are they stressed because they're stressed, or are they stressed because they breathe like they're stressed?
Yeah.
And then there's the aspect that I want to bring up is the nervous system. And the nervous system is the electromagnetic system in the body. So it's like a whole tanglement of nerves that go through and communicate with the whole body. And the brain is a part of the nervous system. So it's not governing it or anything, it's a big part, but the whole nervous system actually governs the way we perceive reality. Mm. And so there's the sympathetic part and there's the parasympathetic part, the gas pedal and the brake pedal. And it's always changing in a seesaw, so you cannot be sleeping and highly awake. It's just impossible, right? If you get highly awake in a dream, you're gonna wake up. And you can balance all of the aspects of the gas and the brake pedal, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. With that, it happens every breath we take. So every inhale we take, we're pressing the gas pedal. Heartbeat speeds up slightly, blood pressure goes up. And then exhale, it turns around. So we go into the parasympathetic nervous system, we're pressing the gas pedal, we're relaxing, the heart slows down, blood pressure changes. Mm. So it's actually one of the pumps that bring blood flow through the whole body as well. So it's so many aspects that the breath is actually influencing or controlling. And one of the most fascinating things that I think is there is that the breath is one of these autonomic functions that we actually are able to influence. So we can either let it just breathe us, or we can control it and now change the variation. And that changes multiple different aspects of the autonomic nervous system, which is usually that we cannot control. But the breath is the gateway of starting to control the heartbeats, for example. And there's the magic that lies in it. It's almost an invitation of life to co-create our own experience. So if I want more energy, for example, I know already I can breathe a little bit deeper and faster, and I'm going to get more energy into my body. I'm going to wake up. Yeah. I don't need actually a coffee. I'm like, oh, I'm tired. Okay, what do I do? I just breathe faster, deeper, more intense. And I'm going to get more, feel more awake, because that's the gas pedal. If I want to slow down and relax, I do the double inhale through the nose and a sigh of relief out of the mouth. Do 5 or 6 of those, and I'm 20, 30, 40, 50% more relaxed than I was before I did that.
That's very cool.
So that is kind of like the superpower that we all have access to, just no one is sharing.
But do we know why we alter different consciousness? Or like why we're going to go more into the spiritual side of breathwork, because that's something I'm very interested in. But do we know why it gives you like the clarity and like the why? Or it's because you're getting more into the body. You're getting more grounded. But why is it giving you... Why are you getting more grounded from breathwork, do you know?
Well, I would say it's a connector. Mm. So first of all, again, the nervous system, right? If you're more alert, so more energized in that system, then you're also going to be more present in your body.
Oh.
So, and presence helps obviously get more information from the organs and all the cells in the body.
Yeah.
That is one aspect. And then there's also something that happens with the emotional shower as well, which is eventually we carry a lot of things that happen during the day, and a lot of people don't know how to actually release thoughts, release emotions, and they just circulate.
Yeah.
Circulate in the body over and over and over again. They don't even notice that it's there. Like in our session yesterday, for example, like it was clear that some were holding energies since weeks, maybe even months. They don't know how to release them.
Yeah.
And the release of that builds a form of what people then call emptiness. So they feel empty inside, and a good empty. And that's the emotional shower. It's like cleaning up your room after a long time. And at once you're just like, oh, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And we have the peace and calm in the mind. The mind is not chattering all the time and bombarding. So, and at once it's just like there's a single focus, single clarity, emptiness, and feeling at peace and energized. It's my favorite state to be in.
Yeah.
So if I can have all of that at once, like that's my favorite state.
That's the optimum.
For being awake at daytime. At night I want to sleep.
Yeah. But can you actually call breathwork a spiritual practice?
I don't know what is more spiritual actually than breathing and connecting to something that people cannot see.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, but I wouldn't say that it's mainly a spiritual practice. Like I would say it's a practice for all aspects. And this is why, like from all of the tools that are out there, this is my absolute favorite one, because it has the psychophysiological effects. It's mental, physical, emotional, and the experiences that I've had so far, I mean, I cannot describe them anything else than spiritual.
Yeah.
So I see colors, visions, I get information. It's the mystery realm, we call. So it's the mystery factor. The rest we can kind of describe, but then there's something happening that is just out of explanation.
Yeah.
And hopefully, eventually, we're going to be able to describe it. But when I breathe really deeply and Johnny is holding a session and my whole legs are like feeling like they're tingling and I'm almost like a rocket ship flying through space. And then at once I see a huge eye in front of me that's staring right back at me. I'm like, And many, many, many people have this experience.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on? Or like, I don't know. I just love the experience. I don't need to know necessarily. The feeling that I have afterwards is what counts for me.
It's very common for me too to see an eye when I do different types of, you know, sessions.
The eye.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So how can breathwork help you on a spiritual journey?
I think it is a opener, a door opener, and I would say, I mean, poking around in this world of holistic performance and spirituality in some ways for the last 10 years, there's some things that I don't think is the first thing I would recommend people to do. Yeah. I'm not going to disclose anything more than that. And then there's other things that I think is very useful and a good, like, kind of gateway for people to understand that there's, I wouldn't say there's a different world inside of you, but kind of. That's what we see a lot, that they don't have that connection to themselves. I'm not saying that the spirit didn't have to be like somewhere else. For me, anyways, it's very inside of me, and it can look very different depending on what the circumstance is. And if you've never seen that, it's quite difficult to maybe see a lot of other things beautiful that might be around you also. So if you can get that connection, you can understand that, you can open up that door, and then all of a sudden it's like your mind is open. And it's just wonderful and wonderful when we have sessions. And like Daniel said, it might be somebody that comes in and you kind of sense that they're a little bit closed in. They're there, they want to do something, but maybe a little bit afraid. And then they open up and they breathe. And then afterwards, maybe there's some type of release. So they're just having a wonderful time. And afterwards, you can see in their eyes that their mind has opened.
Yeah.
So when you speak to them, they relate to you in a different way. And there's something interesting about that that makes it, I think, a lot of other things afterwards become easier, you know. Whatever, they might pick up a different type of book next time they're reading, or watch a different show, or follow a different account on Instagram, yeah, or whatever it is. And so I think it's a very good gateway and a simple way. And that was like the first thing for me that came up when I had those deeper sessions, like, why is nobody doing this? How come we don't understand this on the basic level, same as yoga or, you know, working out?
Yeah.
Because it's so fundamental that everybody needs to understand how this is working, what happens to you, and what can open and how you can work with it.
Yeah.
And in some ways it's so easy that it's just ridiculous. And you tell people in the beginning, I'm like, oh, we do breathing. They're like, what? What? Why would you
it's
do that?
It's almost too easy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I breathe all the time. I don't need to do that. Yeah. The athlete is the same thing. Like, I've been breathing all my life. I'm a runner. It's like, okay. And then you test them and they know nothing about breathing. But anyways, that's a different topic maybe. Mm. But so I think it's a perfect gateway. I can recommend it to almost anyone.
Yeah.
Like, of course, there's some discrepancies around that, but most of the people, I can find a way for them to breathe and open up a different world, I would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a long answer.
No, but it was a very good answer. And so yesterday you spoke about Qi and the Kundalini. So what also happens is that you activate the Kundalini in your body, right?
Where there's a possibility for activating it.
Okay.
I would say, like, if we first to establish is that there's as many ways to breathe as there's ways to move.
Yeah. Okay.
And just starting with that means that there's many different ways we can breathe that will do different kind of things. And to explore the breath, it's like exploring myself.
Yeah.
So my breath will bring certain emotions up and sensations, and then my mind might go completely blank and quiet, or it might start talking a lot, and different ways will bring me more into connection. And I mean, I had my first Kundalini activation And I didn't know what it was back then because I was doing Wim Hof method, and I knew about Kundalini, but I just...
That's not something he speaks about?
Not really. And after later researching, it was clear, like, the Tibetan monks who where Getumo comes from, they have this this connection.
Yeah.
So the technique is very similar. So that specific technique might activate your Kundalini.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So others doing HRV coherence breathing, I'm not sure that people will actually have that experience.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So this is really important to look at.
Is
so,
Wim Hof more activating?
Well, Wim Hof is a mix of doing mental exercises with breath work and the cold. And it's kind of funny because it's counterintuitive, but going outside cold creates inside heat.
Yeah.
And outside heat creates inside cold. And most people have not understood that because they're cold all the time and they run away from the cold and they think it's going to get better. But it's the opposite that we have to do to generate inner heat.
Mm.
So the practice itself is already about generating inner heat. And for me, I remember that moment where I was doing breath work, and at once I was just out, and I woke up, and my whole spine was like on fire, and I was radiating heat, like massive amounts of heat. I was just like, I got actually really scared in that moment, because I was like, what is happening? Like, I'm burning up. And it just faded away, and I felt amazing afterwards, just very, very, very electrified. And that, I tried to avoid that experience in the beginning, then I was like, that was not good. But then I started reading up on it, and that it was quite a normal feature.
The life force.
Yeah, exactly. Rising from the base of the spine. So there's a lot of things that I would say I don't understand, but I've experienced. And I think that makes a big difference for me, at least. Like, I'm like, okay, do I have to explain that experience? Like, I know the energetical field that I had in my body and how it was in that moment, and the clarity and the energy that I felt there. And that is kind of like what I like exploring there too. I don't need all of the answers. I would love them. I would love all of the answers. And I'm searching for finding ways to explain what happens. But there's this whole realm where in breathwork, where it's just honesty to say we don't know what is going on. And that is also okay.
Isn't that kind of nice in some ways? That we don't know everything? That kind of makes me calm and humble.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Me too. I think a lot of people don't think like that, though.
True. And I haven't in my past. No. But the more I develop and like the more I grow, I think it's quite nice to know that there's so much I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's... eventually, there's no other way to look at it, actually.
Yeah, true.
Unfortunately or fortunately. But if you think the world is what you believe it is, that is 100% not true. I would say.
Exactly.
That's the only thing I would say.
You
is
think
100%.
You can control the world?
Yeah.
I think that's the fallacy. I mean, every real scientist knows that things are just until a better theory comes. So the universe is always expanding in knowledge and wisdom, and not recognizing that that is the case is like, in my eyes, it's ignorance. So there's a billion of things. We don't even know how sleep really functions. We have data. We have a aspect of looking at it. But like a lot of people don't still know why we yawn. We have a lot of theories about why we yawn, but no one can actually say these are all of the aspects that happen. So,
but there's still nothing that can prove what consciousness is either.
Oh, I mean, there's ways of exploring consciousness, I would say, but the whole thing about proving something from a limited aspect, which we are as humans relatively limited.
But so, science has not found like an answer of consciousness.
No, there's just really intelligent ways of exploring consciousness.
Yeah.
So there's always the different parties, right? So some say it's generated, some say no, we found that it's not. I'm just like, yeah, have fun exploring.
Yeah.
Like, that's the funnest part that comes with it.
So when should you not do breathwork? Is there sometimes when it's not appropriate, or when it's not, you know, something you recommend?
That's a very complex question, because it's multifaceted in so many ways. For example, people with epilepsy should not be doing specific breathing techniques because they might activate a seizure.
Yeah.
Pregnant women should not do specific breathing techniques because they might lower the blood flow to their child. But there are others that they actually are useful for them. And then we also have to look at the moment. Why are they doing it? For what outcome? And now we're having a way better question. So it's like saying everyone should do squats. Well, that's not correct, right? Like, some people should definitely not do squats at this time, but they could do a different movement.
Yeah.
And then also, are they trying to change their psychophysiological aspects? Are they trying to heal a trauma? Are they breathing to have orgasmic experiences? What is it actually that they want? And is this a good moment to do it?
Mm.
And not all conscious controlled breathing is actually good for us. So we actually can disrupt the natural biochemical aspect of it in ways that might bring up complications.
Mm.
And most humans do that already unnoticed.
Yeah.
So they have suboptimal breathing patterns that they adapted from their parents, from their surrounding, from emotional trauma. And now whenever that situation comes up, they start breathing that way, they have that experience, and they think that it has to do with something else. And then behavioral changes is really, really good. And sometimes we want to activate these things so we can actually work with the subconscious realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see that the question is...
It was easy. It was an easy question. You could just easy answer would have been done.
Pregnant.
Yeah. No, but yeah, in general, I mean, of course we have some precautions. And then that what I noticed a lot is... it's very seldom that somebody feels that there's something that breathwork is not a type of practice where you have something and you kind of hide it and then go in anyways full-fledged. There's very few people who do that. So the ones that feel that maybe I have something here, usually there's quite hard resistance. So
when you say have something to work with.
Have something to
some
work
sort of
with.
Blockage.
If you have, it's very seldom that we have a person that come into a class and have, bypass heart surgeries and don't say anything about it, you know, because they know. It's almost like I don't know if the intuition or whatever it is, but it's like going into physical activity. It's the same thing. You're kind of like, oh, my knee's hurting, so maybe I shouldn't do this, you know. So of course, there's some things around that, and. We try to screen people for that, of course, and if that's the case, then we can work with them individual and more specifically, basically. Yeah. So, yeah.
So some physical aspects or physical scenarios.
Exactly. There's diseases, there's injuries, all kind of things that need to be taken into account. So, but generally speaking, it's one of the safest practices that are out there because it's you and your breath.
Yeah.
And we're breathing every day. It's the first thing we do till the last moment of our life.
That's why it's so powerful. I think it's amazing. Like, the simpler things get, the more I like them, in a way. Because then you know it's pure.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's very fascinating with breath work. That it's like, you don't need anything. Because that's kind of where I'm coming from. I don't think that we need a lot of things, you know.
Mm.
We're not meant to have... all kinds of tools, like physical tools, and go to classes and yoga, like nice fancy yoga rooms and stuff. It's supposed to be very simple. So, and how often do you recommend that you do breath work?
Well, what is
six
it that
times
you want?
A day?
Exactly. What is it that you're looking for?
Yeah.
What would be a good question then?
So and
can't be too much.
And what style? I mean, I think both of us, of course, when you go into something, then you kind of go, or maybe it's just us, but we go into it and then you want to explore it fully. So then you might do it really intensely for a certain amount of time, and you understand and get the experience, and you understand what's going on and how you relate to that, especially if you want to try to teach other people. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I usually recommend people to slow start it. And it depends on who you are and your personality, but it's kind of like this New Year's resolution thing where, oh, now I'm going to start doing breath work. I'm going to do it every day. And then after 2 weeks, it's like, oh my God, it's almost like you've burned yourself out. Mm. And I wouldn't recommend that. I would try to, find a place you can do breath work and then, go there a couple of times, learn a little bit more every time, find some new techniques, maybe throw in that technique every once in a while. And I think the consistency over time is what's going to do the difference. So for us, like, we have people coming to the classes, then one of the bigger differences, I mean, any practice is wonderful if you can do it something every day. And you don't have to do the deepest breathing technique every day, but some type of technique, of course,
yeah.
To have a kind of a morning ritual or night ritual, whatever you have. But I think what breathwork actually, why I think it's so suitable for modern times is if you come to us one day a week and you do that for just for 6 months, your life will change.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
That is, I don't know anything else maybe that would have the ability to do that. If you go work out once a week, I don't think that much is going to happen. If you do meditation once a week, you're probably not that much going to happen. Yoga, maybe you get a little bit more flexible and get some more peace of mind. But the changes in if you do breath work once a week for 6 months will be a difference.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's very applicable and useful for that sense, because I know a lot of people don't have time or believe they don't have time in a stressed society. So that speaks a lot for maybe breathwork, I would say, but then of course how much you're going to do it. So
as with everything, moderation and kind of ease into it, and or maybe do hardcore style like you did. Maybe it seems like everything works.
It's like,
see what is there.
Yeah, it's all about if you know that you're a person that do things for 2 weeks and then stop, then yeah, sure. But I would say trying to find a practice and incorporate it, and I like to see it as a complement to life, basically. Mm. So even if you're doing yoga or training or working or whatever you're doing, like, this is the core that you kind of want to integrate, and that will feed everything else. So the breath will feed everything else you're doing.
Yeah.
So I would see it more as a complement than anything else. Like, if you're in the gym on the treadmill running 5 days a week, I think it'll be better for you to take out one day and then do breath work, to be honest with you. And that might be other things that are like that as well. So a compliment, I would say. So use it as a compliment.
Nice. And follow your intuition. That's usually what we recommend.
Yes.
With everything.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So...
This is a spiritual podcast, so I didn't even mention that. That was a given.
So do you guys have any, or I know you have, but can you recommend a few simple breathing exercises that our listeners can do? Maybe it's going to be hard. I don't know if it's going to be hard to vocally instruct.
There's two, or actually there's three that I always want everyone to have.
Okay, perfect.
Because not everyone is maybe... experimental or likes trying new things, but like Johnny just said, like, you're gonna need your breath every day, and everything you do is fueled by your breath. So everyone should know how to activate the gas pedal, everyone should know how to activate the brake pedal, and everyone should know how to balance both of them. And for that, there's three very, very simple ways of doing it. And this is the fun thing. So some can just come to our classes and they breathe and they do these deeper journeys. But after a while, for me, like, I watch my breath during the day and I just stay connected to it. As we're speaking now, right now, for example, I'm aware of how my breath is. And that helps me be aware of, am I holding any tension in my body? And this is actually where breathwork starts. So everyone already now listening, if they want, they can just start watching their breath.
Mm.
And that means, how does it feel to breathe? How is the breath? Is it slow? Is it stronger? Is it deeper? Where are we breathing into? Are we using the mouth or the nose? And that is the mother of all meditation. So just watching the breath is the mother of all meditation. And the more we integrate that into day-to-day life, the less we hold unnecessary tension in the body. I noticed that a lot with me. Like I was clenching my belly or doing all kinds of things, and every time I was like, oh, I'm doing that, then I can just let it go. And that helped me be more present in the moment, because each breath is different. It's never the same. They might be feeling similar, but they're never the same. So that's the best place to start, just watching your breath and integrating that into life more and more.
What should they, or what should we observe with the breath? Like, what is it telling us?
We could do a connect to self exercise where literally we go do into that.
Yeah.
Would you want that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Cool.
Okay, then we can do it together.
Yeah.
So if you're driving car right now, please don't close your eyes, but everything else, you can do it while walking, standing, whatever it is. You don't really need to have any special position. I like closing my eyes and sitting to do this, to fully give my attention to my breath. And so now you can lower your gaze or close your eyes, except you're driving a vehicle or walking. And start by becoming aware of where the breath is entering your body. It might be the nose or the mouth. We're not trying to change anything at this stage. You're witnessing your breath breathing you right now. And you can, if it's the nose, you can feel the sensation of air passing at the tip of your nose, going into your nostrils, your sinuses, to the back of your throat, and just feel the sensations. Feel the rising and falling of your chest, your belly, your lower back, and your sides as well. Go sure to not take any control over your breath. If you're not sure if you're controlling it, just let go of your breath and let it come and inhale on its own. And your job now is to notice as much as possible in your sensations. You can enhance and see how much you are able to notice. And so now keep that connection to your breath, and now we're going to expand a little further. So you're watching your breath, but now we're going to bring more awareness to everything else that is happening in your body right now. So as you're watching your breath, you might become more aware of your heartbeat, your pulse. Any feeling that is alive in your body right now. And now hold the awareness for all the sensations that are alive in you while staying connected to your breath. Now we're going to add the emotional layer with that as well. And you can ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? Stay connected to your breath and your sensations, and see where these emotions are and what the flavors and how they taste, where they live in your body. You can notice if your breath slightly changed already. Now holding the sensational field, your breath, and your emotions, we're going to add the layer of thoughts as well. And you can ask yourself, I wonder what I'm thinking right now. And observe. Are there many thoughts? Few, none. What's the quality of your thoughts? A Now holding the whole human experience that you have right now in your field of awareness. How much is happening in each and every second? You can slowly open your eyes if you had them closed. Just notice the impact it had of just a few moments of connecting to your breath, to your body, to your emotions and your mind. How was it for you?
I just want to stay on the inside. It's so interesting how much is actually happening.
Right.
When you give us the opportunity to think about it. So much is happening. And I mean, thinking about what every cell is doing. It's a lot of stuff.
So this one here will give you awareness for how you breathe during the day.
Yeah.
And then you might notice, like I noticed when I was answering emails, that I'm holding my breath. And then I wonder why I feel weird after a while.
Yeah.
So then staying with my breath, I can start breathing smoother, softer, allowing it differently. So this is the beginning of all breath work, is breath awareness.
Mm.
And breath awareness directly brings awareness for what is happening inside. And then that connection inside is more information, more data, more useful intelligence. Because it's not just the thinking mind that brings intelligence to our experience. So at once I can let my emotions guide me, see if I want to react or not. My mind is more clear and calm just by doing that. And now we can start acting into conscious control.
Yeah.
So if I now notice like, oh, I'm super excited. I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't want to be so stressed or excited, because stress is just a natural part of life. It's nothing bad. Chronic stress is the big killer of our time. And chronic stress for me is the inability to press the brake pedal and know how to calm. That's all it is. So most people just don't know how to calm themselves.
Mm.
And the simplest thing they can do, and now we can do it actually all together, and we did it yesterday, we built it into many of our classes, is the double inhale sigh of relief.
Yeah.
It comes from the Huberman lab. It's a lab for optimization. And they tested hundreds of breathing techniques and measured the impact on the nervous system. And the one that is fastest, because it's a physiological sigh, we do it already every 5 minutes, is taking a double as deep inhale as usual in through the nose and then letting it go out of the mouth with a sound if you like. And we can just do it together.
Yeah,
so we just empty our breath through the mouth. Slow, deep inhale in through the nose, really deep into the belly, into the middle, into the top. Opening your mouth and a nice sigh. And let's just do a few more. Next, to make it a little softer and smoother, slow, deep, double inhale in through the nose, sigh of relief, letting it fall out without any resistance.
Are you breathing in through your nose or through your mouth?
In through the nose and out through the mouth.
Yeah. This is a good one. Very easy.
Very easy. And you can do 20, you can do 30, you can do 40, but you also can like learn how to do it just with one breath. Like me just doing the 3-4 now, I can feel it clearly behind my head, feel a little heavier, a little drowsy.
Smooth.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
So that's the parasympathetic activation, the brake pedal. And Johnny, do you want to do the activation?
Johnny's going sleeping now.
Exactly.
What were you thinking?
Sniff, sniff, puff?
No, you do, that's your favorite.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Should I do it?
Yeah.
So, the double inhale sigh of relief, right? It's, now we're doing it soft and smooth and slow. And through that soft, smooth, and slow, we're activating the parasympathetic nervous system. And we're using the nose to inhale because we automatically breathe deeper and we use the right muscles if we do nose breathing most of the time. And through the mouth, we expel carbon dioxide, which helps with just the acid base, which helps us be more relaxed as well. That is really good for slowing down.
So we have the third exercise that you called...
Sniff, sniff, puff.
Okay, love the name. Do you want to walk us through?
Yeah, so it's the same way as the double inhale sigh of relief. Just this time we do it more intense.
Yeah.
And that changes the outcome. So this is for activation. And be in a safe environment when you're doing it right now. And then it works that we take double inhales in through the nose. And just sigh out through the mouth, letting it fall out. And this time really fast. So it goes pretty much like... We're gonna do that for 30 seconds.
Yeah?
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Great. So we can start exhaling out through the mouth, all the air out.
Okay.
And beginning. Breath come back. Just observe what happened in these 30 seconds. So, how was that for you?
A lot of heat is has been building up in my body. I feel sweaty, basically. Yeah.
A strong activation.
And some dizziness.
It's my favorite thing to do when I feel really tired.
Yeah.
And I do sniff, sniff, puff for about 1-2 minutes, and then I feel very present and energized.
Wow.
Usually a lot of warmth as well.
Yeah.
So that's activation technique, for example. That doesn't take much time at all.
So cool. Thank you so much. So these are three powerful exercises that people can do to both then reduce stress and build energy. Yeah.
Absolutely. So gas pedal, brake pedal, and just observing the breath.
Yeah.
Which all three of this day-to-day usage. Absolutely.
Amazing. So my final question for you guys is about your new center that you founded this year, Hale. It's a beautiful breathwork studio in Stockholm. Do you want to explain a little bit about the concept and also about the classes that you have? And I know you also have been branching out to different platforms. Do you want to just walk us through the experience?
Yeah, so we wanted to create a space, of course, people can come and breathe to, but a platform, overall platform also, that people can come and breathe, and we can combine all these beautiful different styles, basically. So that's our concept of what we know. I don't know any other place that actually does that in that way. There might be combinations with other type of practices, but a pure breathwork center that just do that, I don't see that many else in the world. So we're quite proud of that, of course. So we have a class schedule as any other, I would say, a normal yoga studio would have, a different type of classes. We created a journey through that also, that you can start at one end with the intros, and then you can build it up, and you go through a progression of different type of classes. We have 7, 8 now, maybe? I think 8. So we have that, and we work with companies. That's super, super interesting also. A lot of people that we wouldn't reach normally.
Yeah.
So that might be into hard performance, that a couple of people in the company might think it's interesting, and the rest it's kind of like, what is this weird thing you're doing?
Some break from work.
Yeah, exactly. Let's exactly. Try this. Exactly. Yeah. And that's super, super cool that we can reach them as well.
Yeah.
And because that's the way for us to kind of come into the common place. So we do that. And then, of course, Daniel has the guide training. We're training a lot of guides. We have 20, almost 25 new ones this year. And we trained maybe 30 in total before. So that is also super cool. And of course, a part of the mission of trying to spread this. Some individuals use it in the practice that they're at, whatever the workspace they're in. So professionals, therapists and trainers, and some want to use it for themselves, and the other ones maybe have the intention to work with us also a little bit further down the road. So it's quite a mix and very good, talented people. So it's super, super fun. And I have a training a little bit on the side that's more geared to just sports performance, I would say. So a little bit shorter. The bigger one is around 6 months, and mine is a little bit shorter. I do it simpler than Daniel. So we do that, and then we also, of course, with the schedule we have at the studio, we're also serving that online, because sometimes a location is just a small take-up area, right? And we want to be able to service that. So we have classes every day, sometimes even multiple sessions a day. And that, I think, is also quite unique. There's nobody else that I know that is doing that on a regular basis. So that, and down now in combination also with the new app that we're coming out, we want to be able to service people basically anywhere and have the opportunity to, you know, go through this breath journey, lifestyle, or whatever you would call it with us, but also try to incorporate it when it's needed, kind of like we talked about before, when, what technique is useful, when, and how are you going to use it? And you can be able to have the ability to learn that. So yeah, we're doing a lot of things, and we want to serve a lot of different functions. So one-stop shop for the breath, I would say. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's a good slogan.
Yeah.
So we also have virtual classes every day. So we can reach people also beyond. I don't know if maybe you just said that already.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah. But it's good that you're telling that, saying that again, because it's important, because people feel that, I need to have this experience. I only need to have this experience in real life, which is wonderful. I think it's a dimension of that's super.
Yeah.
But there's also something really powerful with doing it online, is because you're in a very safe space. You're in the most safe place you can be, and that's at home, and you're very comfortable and relaxed. And actually doing it in a group online works really good. You go to some really nice deep stages. And in the beginning, both of us we don't really want to do that, because it's not going to be nice. And you started having some sessions, and I went through, and I'm like, this is like the experience. It's not better, but it's something completely
different.
I didn't think it would be that. So it's good that you're pushing that.
It's great from the safety and comfort of the home.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people are able to even go deeper than in our studio.
Yeah,
we actually prepare that way.
Mm.
They just feel more safe and more comfortable, and it's very easy to access. So
yeah.
Amazing.
That's an important one. And our brand promise is to breathe, connect, and grow.
Yeah.
So we share and we breathe together, and that deepens the connection within and to others. And then we build also authentic relating practices. So that is where we can connect with each other, and like sharing at the beginning and at the end, and the mix of breathing and then connecting is really what brings us the deepest growth so far. And that is our combination then too, that brings that in. Because human connection is actually all we're looking for, at least out of my experience.
Very true. Amazing. Thank you so much for guesting our podcast. This interview has been kind of a journey. We started with the monkeys. We had the CAP session running right next to us. It's going to be interesting to see how much of that came into the recording. But I think that was nice. We heard some screaming, some crying.
Some technical difficulties.
Some technical mishaps. We spoke about emotional release. So I think it all happened in the most perfect way. Now a new CAP session is starting. So
yes.
I think maybe that's going to be a perfect way to end this.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being amazing, Johnny.
Yeah,
doing this
you.
Together.
Thank
it's
you.
A, it's an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you. And goodbye to the people who have joined this on YouTube.
Yes.
Our first YouTube show.
A great one.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.